Hey listeners, Rebecca here. I just wanted to let you know that Melissa and I are at CrimeCon in Orlando. By the way, if you're at CrimeCon when you're hearing this, please come say hello to us at the criminality table. But in light of these travels, we have decided to re-release an older episode. Please enjoy a replay of this episode, Patricia and Whitney, Southern Harm. We will be back in 2 weeks with an all-new episode. Welcome to Criminality, episode 30. This is the podcast where me, myself, and also Melissa, I, along with my co-host Melissa, talk about the reality stars who've gotten into some trouble, because loving reality isn't a crime, but we sure know that some of them have gotten into crimes. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Rebecca. How are you?
I'm great. I'm excited to be here with you.
Me too. Yes, I'm excited to be here with you, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it feels like it's been longer than our normal time between. I don't know if life is just marching on in that way that life does, but it feels long.
And it actually is a little bit less, I think, at least by like a day or so. Yeah,
I know. That's so weird. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's the daylight savings. Let's, you know, blame it on that.
I'll blame it on literally anything and everything. Including my children. I'll do whatever.
Oh, absolutely. How about we get right into it? And as a refresher, I will tell you my clues, because it feels like it was so long ago, even though it wasn't apparently. Maybe you'll want to hear, and maybe our listeners want to be reminded, that my clues for this episode were Palmetto, Friends, and Michael. Did those start clicking at any point for you?
Yes, it did not click for me at all when we recorded, because immediately when somebody says Friends, I automatically go to the show, and I don't even like the show, and it's still, then I just have like Chandler Bing in my head. So then Palmetto and Michael, I knew we were in the Southern Charm universe, and that's all I've got for you.
Well, I mean, that's exactly where we are. Palmetto is, I guess, the term for South Carolina. It's the Palmetto State, because I knew if I said South Carolina, it would be a dead ringer.
Yeah.
And Michael's the, in my opinion, the hero of the show. He is Patricia's butler. Mm-hmm. And but a generic enough name that I didn't think it would give anything away, because obviously can't say Whitney or Shep. So, there is such a thing as regrets. Sometimes we have them. Sometimes we commit to these clues and then remember that this is a terrible show starring terrible people.
Horrific.
So what I'm going to do is focus in on just two, and hats off to your Zoom background, because he's one of them.
Oh, good, good.
I'm looking at very mustached Whitney on your end. And behind me is Patricia and, of course, dear Michael. This show has far too many crimes, scandals, and legal issues to go into. It's like, pick a castmate, any castmate, and you could have an episode.
Oh, absolutely.
And just some, Melissa, were I would say, too dark, too toxic, and not what we like to cover here. So if you don't hear some people's names, it is for a good reason.
Yeah.
We're going to talk like early years and early seasons of Southern Charm. And just let's start with your impression. I've already said too much. Who do you love? Who do you hate? Or probably who do you hate to love or love to hate?
Okay. So I started Southern Charm second season, and I didn't really know what I was getting into, but I knew that it was just bananas. So I started it. Who did I love? I think it's a cop-out to say Cameron, but I remember her from the Real World. And so it was kind of cool to see her grown up, and she seemed to have her act together, kind of the voice of reason. The people I love to hate, I never liked Shep. I will go on record saying that. Never found him charming. His mouth is always open, and like, He just seems like yeah, and we now know he's breath.
Shane's distant cousin. I mean, how could he ever have been trusted? We know him now to be of Shane's ilk.
I know. And the whole idea with those first seasons, right, was like very much that Peter Pan syndrome. They talked about that all the time. Yes. The boys not growing up, but like being okay that they weren't. It's so bizarre that that show ever got on air.
Thank you.
More so that it's still on air. I hate everyone. I like some of the girls. I like, who's the one that dated Austin briefly that does hair? Chelsea. I love Chelsea.
Chelsea was great.
She can do no wrong in my book. Chelsea
was an even better Cameron, if that makes sense. Like, totally. She became what Cameron, I think they wanted Cam to be. Mm-hmm. But she just was better. But she came on, obviously, later.
Yeah. I like Nomi.
Yeah, Nomi's great.
Nomi.
She reminds me of Amanda from Summer House.
Oh, yeah. And they're both in, yeah. Is it just looks? Right? Because they're both, like, drop-dead, perfect featured.
Symmetrical. Princess. But they're also, like, they're bone their structure. Their energy. And their energy, their relationship with their parents. Like, there's a lot of weird, synergy between them, which I've only recently realized in rewatching Southern Charm and being on a major Summer House kick.
I'm proud of you for that one.
It sounds like, thanks. I've been watching backwards and it's wild. It feels like I'm like in some alternate universe. More about that another day. Sounds like we're on the same page about Southern Charm. And today we're going to focus on the mother-son duo of the show. But before I get into it, I thought a quick rundown of the main cast of characters from these first couple of seasons would be helpful. You've already touched on a couple, but for anyone who maybe hasn't watched Southern Charm, because surely there are some people probably who know exactly what it is and who do not watch.
Right.
You know, maybe don't go back and watch, but here's a rundown. Mm-hmm. A man named Whitney, he is the son of Patricia. We'll get to her. He's the oldest of the friend group after Thomas. He is a, quote, indie film director and producer responsible for shows you probably know and love, like Going for Baroque, Afternoon Delight, Torture TV, and a documentary called I didn't look into it further because I don't care to go onto the dark web. He did a documentary called Ultra Suede, which was probably his most successful project, which was about the fashion designer Halston. If I were to summarize him in like a line or a phrase, if I was writing like a breakdown of the cast, I would say trust fund weirdo.
Yeah. Well, One thing you didn't mention is that he was in the band Renob, which is backwards something, not Renob. That's where I picked him for my background. I'll never get over that.
Well, he does like to play the guitar, and we will geet to that. Patricia is his mother. She is kind of the matriarch. No. She is the matriarch of the show. She's a widow and a divorcee living very well off her previous husband's money. I don't know if she came from her own money. I did not. Unlike, I know it's very much my style to go back and like find these people's stories. I didn't. I couldn't. She is a society lady of Charleston. Whether she came by that from her own lineage or not, I do not know. Right. She is a total snob. I mean, when you watch her on TV, you're like, is she playing a part? Is this really who she is? I'm not sure. And I think some people celebrate her character because it is so almost outlandish. And she made caftans very like fashionable. Like she's just a Southern lady, like kind of like a designing woman from Designing Women. Remember that show? But like,
I love that.
But not as amazing. But I liked kind them. Of living into. Yeah, they're likable and they were real and they had dimension. But kind of like in terms of hair and dress, like she looks like that kind of that's her. Brand, if you will. So that's Patricia. And then Michael, I've mentioned he's completely a peripheral character, but he certainly has a presence on the show as Patricia's butler. He makes the perfect gin martini. He brings her breakfast, lunch, dinner, and cocktails on silver platters. He chauffeurs her to McDonald's if she's craving it. And honestly, he's just lovely and like treats these imbeciles who come through her home graciously.
Right.
And they're Patricia and Michael's relationship and also their on-camera shtick. Again, it's like, is this shtick or is this how she lives? And I think that's like the big conundrum with her is like, this actually just might be, they turn the cameras on and this was already happening. Mm-hmm. Some of it might be slightly embellished. A fun story about her and butlers is at one point she was saying she needed a second butler. And she was looking to not get rid of Michael, but augment his support in the house because running this big house needed more help. She was talking to, I think, Whitney about the gentleman she was hiring, thinking about hiring to be the second butler. And really the most important thing is, does he make a great gin martini? And she said, I don't care if he's a serial killer as long as he makes a great gin martini. And I believe her. Do you know what I mean?
For sure.
She's not lying.
No. She just needs that in her system, and whatever else happens, happens.
Yeah. She can't be. Yeah, exactly. She'll ring her bell when she needs another, if she wakes up.
Oh, like, I forgot about her bell. Yeah.
Yeah. She rings the bell and asks for her medicine. It's time for her medicine. So
that is red flag galore.
Yeah. It's like we call that functional alcoholism now. Like we use the real words now. Again, could be shtick. So then we have Cameron, who you mentioned, kind of the straight woman of the show. And by straight woman, I mean playing the straight man. Like, she's supposed to be the voice of reason. She narrates a lot of this. She introduces us to the term Peter Pan syndrome. And she's only the only one not in the center of the hookups, which is a big part of Southern Charm. Is like they're basically all, it's one big interconnected web of hooking up. Mm-hmm. And she's out of it. We learn early on in the beginning, she doesn't say anything about dating. Then she's dating. And then she marries her husband. And it's all off camera. He wants nothing to do with it. He's a doctor. And so, I mean, great.
Until the very last episode. In the very last episode that they were in. Remember, he is in the very last episode. I don't remember what it was, but it even showed like a shot of like up his leg. Not up his legs, but, you know, like from the floor to him. And then he turned around. Oh,
like a reveal.
Yeah. Like, okay, we all know who he was. Like, if you have Google, you figured it out. But he was only in the last episode that she was in.
This is making me wonder if I ever actually finished that last season.
I mean, okay, so it wasn't this season, but it was the season before.
Okay. Right, because she's not on the last season. Right. So the season before last. Okay. Mm-hmm. I just maybe forgot about that.
It wasn't interesting.
It's just I love that they like did a reveal, though, because, yeah, he's never there. And, like, you do wonder in the beginning, like, why isn't she part of this? But that's why.
Right.
So she also stirs stuff up. Like, even though she's not in the drama, her role is to, like, people talking about each other. And she's a very classic Southern girl, but not from money in the way that some of her peers are. Then we have Thomas Ravenel, who is a 50-year-old bachelor when we meet him. He is from a prominent South Carolina family. Ravenel name is huge. There's a bridge. You'll hear that more than once in the show. He was previously the state treasurer of South Carolina, so it's like a real, it's a major government official position. Right. He has political aspirations beyond that, which plays out in the show. But he did do a 6-month stint in federal prison for cocaine use and distribution. So that's kind of the thorn in his side. And, you know, the distribution word is really interesting because he had more than was enough for personal use, but not enough to be charged with selling. And he makes a big point on the show. I rewatched it and he's like, I shared. Like, that's why it was distribution. It was like, I had enough for my friends. I mean, this man who is now, you know, well, we'll kind of get there, but we can't. That's why I could not cover Thomas's story.
No. His gets darker all the time. Anytime I've looked up, if I see his name trending or out there, I'm like, I don't even want to click on this.
It's actually scary, especially because we know they have young children together, and they being Catherine is the next person on the list. She's the youngest of this friend group. When we meet her, she's 21 years old, and she looks 18. I mean, she is a baby comparatively. I mean, Whitney's in his 40s. Craig's 25 and looks 35. Like, Craig looks better now than he did at the beginning of the show.
I need to go back and look because he's looking a little bloated, and not in like heavy way, but like his skin isn't
going
too hard.
Not
looking healthy. Yeah.
Agreed. But he also doesn't look aged. Like, he looked older then and he plateaued.
Okay.
But I agree, like, his health maybe doesn't look great. Like, he's not taking care of himself, but he doesn't look 10 years older. Well, it's not quite 10 years, but almost.
Wow.
Anyway, so he's only 25. And then Shep's in his 30s. So they're, you know, an older group, and she's just so young. And she's also from a prominent Southern family, the Calhoun. I guess her last name is Dennis, but she's from Calhoun lineage. That was a former vice president of the country. And she's part of the drama because we learn in like the first couple of episodes, she's hooked up with three of the guys in the core guys in the group, Thomas, Whitney, and Shep.
Yeah.
Shep's not on my list, which is weird, but I can riff. Don't worry. Shep Rose is a another trust fund kid, North Carolina family. Okay. Actually, I think they just have a cabin in North Carolina or an estate. I think they are South Carolina. Doesn't matter. He's very well educated. I forgot. He went to University of Georgia business school at Vanderbilt. Never worked. He just doesn't have to work. So he,
right.
He's like probably the most prime example of the Peter Pan syndrome. He literally just floats through his days, parties like 5-6 nights a week. Lots of women, doesn't settle down, doesn't really date anybody, just has fun. And I think he was supposed to be like the likable, goofy, yeah. but like super smart. So there's just something like so compelling about him, or for a lot of people there were. And like you, I don't see it. I find him to be like smug and arrogant, not that attractive. But a lot of them are tall. And I think this has been talked about, that like sometimes just being tall makes you.
That's so wild to me. It is so wild. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, nobody does that to women that are tall. I will tell you that right now.
It's absolutely true. No, it's true. This is like a conventionally, like one of these gender stereotypes where it's just like, well, he's tall and good looking. And you're like, is he, or is he just tall? And like his presence is big. Like, do you know? Like, I don't know.
Does he have to duck under doorways? Is that what you're attracted to?
And then there's Craig, who I alluded to earlier. He is a law school liar. When we meet him, he's finished with law school, working at a law firm, prepping for the bar. But we find out later, like, had totally not completed things and was lying about a lot of it.
Like, pathologically. I forgot about that.
Again, criminal, but certainly shady and just really sad, because we kind of just end up learning later that he just wants to sew pillows. And so I think he was just trying to, like, make his way in the world. He also wasn't from these pedigreed backgrounds. He was from Delaware, not the South. Delaware. It's like not the South or the North. It's almost like the worst. Sorry.
I forget love Delaware. That it exists.
I know. It's a very tiny state. Reminds
but that's
me
good.
Of,
that means there's not a lot of drama. There's
no
not
drama
a lot of bad
in Delaware.
Stuff coming
absolutely
out of there,
not.
Yeah. Can there's you remind scene. Me real quick, yeah. how did Craig get into pillows? That is, I feel like I've just missed something in my head. Just one day he was like, you don't like my sewing? But I don't remember how.
Well, I don't remember the real plot point. But I have watched these earlier seasons. And one day he just has these designs and he shares them with Patricia.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember the big explanation. I really think it's
one day
something
he's taking a butter knife to... Monday is taking a butter knife to a wall, and the next day he's like, I can sew squares. And that was it.
Yeah.
He's richer than I'll ever be.
I don't know if it was like a genuine creative interest, an outlet, or if it's like a misplaced. I don't know. I don't know if they explained it and I forgot, but one day he's just sharing designs and Patricia tells him it looks like clip art and that he needs to refine his designs a little bit. And she was not wrong. Danny is a peripheral friend of who used to date Shep, she kind of has a scary trajectory on the show. Like, I feel like by the end, she's, like, completely come undone, but she's very much peripheral. We haven't even gotten through the cast of characters yet. Okay, and then there's JD, another friend of. He's, like, all the guy's buddy who's older and married with young kids, so he can't, like, go out and party, but clearly wants to, and he's just... He's like that, you know the type.
He's like somebody's uncle, right?
Like, yeah, he kind of feels like their uncle, but he's their friend. And he's like the, not wingman, but he's like the hype man. He's like the hype man of the show. Like, he's always like, his scenes, he like makes it known that he's there. He rubs me the wrong way.
So loud.
News has come out about him as well that I won't cover that's like not been great. So I think what he projected was real. It was like very phony. Not sincere, and he owns a lot of businesses in Charleston, I wrote down, so okay, great. Again, Catherine and Thomas, their drama will be referenced because so much of the show's plot centers around it, but we're not going down a deep dive into their story because it's honestly, it's too sad to me. So yeah. I'd like to officially start, even though we're however many minutes in, with what I think is the weirdest part of the show's story, which is that Whitney is the show's creator and executive producer.
Why?
Well, so I'll tell you, I don't know if this answers your why, because it's a great question, but originally what he pitched was a documentary on Thomas. Really? The whole show was just going to be about Thomas's return to politics and like kind of his redemption story after prison. Ooh. That would not have worked. Although, I mean, the show very much centers Thomas's story. But when he pitched it, the feedback was like, he's part of the story. He's not the whole story. These casts of characters, like, this is the show. So he got good advice, like, because I don't think, like, only Thomas would have made for good TV. So they started kind of piecing together his friendships, pulling in a couple more people, and adding Whitney to it, which, can you think of any shows where the executive producer and creator is also a cast member? I was trying to think of this. Like, it does not feel normal to me.
No, I can't think of that. Like, I remember hearing that and was thinking, like, how did that happen? Because he doesn't even really have a personality for television at all.
No,
like, if anybody on this show,
like, he hates it and hates them.
And the TV hates him. And it doesn't make a lot of sense for him to be on there. And then whenever you find out the executive producer thing, you think, well, did he make them put him on there? Because it doesn't make sense. Like, he seems to have this life that he doesn't need this. I don't know. Like,
it's rich. Super weird to me. And I didn't like find anything in my research that explained more to that story, like why he chose to put himself in the cast. I think it was such a weird choice. And I think it creates a really weird dynamic in the cast. Like, if you're driving the plot as the show's executive producer, but you're also participating as a friend, it just feels like a very weird conflict of interest. And I'm shocked at how much his friends, quote, friends on the show, like, pushed back at him and like kind of make fun of him because he's a real weirdo.
Oh yeah,
like, he is
totally.
Like I would go as far as to say like he might be a deviant in some ways.
But I
like,
can't even believe he would let the stuff with Catherine ever be on there. Like,
well, okay, we'll get to that. Yeah, okay. No, that's okay. So to me, that's just like a weird way for this show to even exist in that framework. So he and Patricia kind of are the center of the show. And like we mentioned, she's the matriarch. She's sort of the Lisa Vanderpump. Like, she's the Lisa Vanderpump to this cast of kids. In that she's over-involved. Everyone's seeking her approval. These people's livelihood don't depend on her in the way, like, of the restaurant. Although, in a weird way, with the show, they kind of do. Because, you know, Whitney and Patricia are able to, like, control a lot of probably what goes on the cast. I'm wondering, If you noticed a name I didn't mention in that lineup of early seasons, do you remember a man named Cooper Ray?
The redhead. Yes, I do.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're so good because I'd completely forgotten about him. We meet Cooper in season 2 of Southern Charm, and he's Patricia's neighbor, friend. He's known in her Southern society circles. He often accompanies her to galas, charities, social events, and he's a menswear designer. So he's often doing shows and having the guys model in the shows, and he seems kind of like Michael in that he's like fun, like the scenes he's in are fun. Patricia and him are very close, and when Catherine's drama starts happening in the show, which happens really early on in the first couple of seasons, she hooks up with Thomas. They're 30 years difference, but we learn that she had just hooked up with Shep and possibly Whitney, allegedly. It's all coming out in the first 1, 2, 3 episodes. And Patricia really, really does not like Catherine. She thinks she's low class. She thinks she's trashy. She thinks she's not good enough for her son, not good enough for Thomas, not good enough for any of them. And by season 2, she's saying to Cooper, like, we don't associate with her. Explicitly, she says this to him. Mm-hmm. And if you do, I won't associate with you. And she really works hard to ice Catherine out of the group. She starts spreading really mean things about her to the women, the guys, everybody. And I got the feeling that Cooper sort of needed and wanted Patricia's friendship more than she necessarily needed his. Totally. So he went with it. But then things started to change. And by season 3, people were coming around to forming their own opinion of Catherine. She was sort of proving herself as a maturing adult. She's now a mother. And people's opinions of her start to shift, but not Patricia's. But Cooper's did. And so Cooper's friendly with her, and this really upsets Patricia. So the season ends, and it's the last season we see him. And initially he says he left Bravo because he had other projects going on. He couldn't juggle it all. But he has since changed his story and said that Patricia is responsible for ensuring he wasn't brought back on. So it sounds like he was initially saving face, and now he just doesn't care and has nothing to lose. So what happened between seasons 3 and 4? Once Cooper knew he wasn't going back to Southern Charm, he took to social media and he basically spilled all the Charleston tea. He even started a paid subscription Facebook group.
Yeah.
You knew this?
I remember all of this because it was just so wild. I didn't join it, but
I didn't even know you could have a paid Facebook group.
Yeah. I think it was like a 2-week period and he was part of it.
Yeah. Well, he really got in there at the ground floor opportunity and leveraged it and basically saved the best tea for that group. And he held nothing back. He also started a company where he would host tours of Charleston and he would take people to the, like, the haunts, the bars. They would go by Patricia's house. They would go by all the places the cast went, usually groups of girls or women on bachelorette parties, birthdays, you can imagine.
Fun fact, whenever a few years ago we had a true crime podcast meetup in Charleston and I got to help organize it and I picked Charleston. I helped encourage Charleston so I could visit all of the places.
Yes.
And so on the little like horse and buggy or whatever tour, the guy was like asking if we had questions. I'm like, do you know where the Southern Charm people live? And he was like so tired of answering that question.
Aww.
And I did get a picture outside of Patricia's house and it looks nothing like not – it's like a wall. Like you can't see anything, but like I figured out where it was and it was – it's one of the worst pictures. I'll have to see if I can find it. Cause
oh, please
there's
do.
There's nothing – it looks like I'm standing outside of a weird prison and like scared
right.
to be.
It's like a fortress in front.
Yeah, it totally does. So like whatever they do in video and it just doesn't look anything like I thought it would. But yeah, I really was so excited to go there.
I feel like it's such a small city. It wouldn't be unheard of to run into them. Like I've been there totally. A couple of times. I actually didn't run into anybody, but my husband's best friend lives there. It's a cute city. I mean, beautiful,
yeah, love it.
Lovely city. Okay, so he even starts making money from this tour where he's spilling all the goods about Patricia and the rest of the cast, but really he's like going hard on Patricia. So they start feuding off camera and this was for years. Like apparently the beef went deep and he was saying really, really terrible things about her. And I guess it got so bad that it took several years, but in September of 2019, Patricia slapped Cooper with a lawsuit for defamation of character.
Wow.
The suit claimed that Ray has engaged in, quote, consistent extended course of attacking and maligning Ms. Altschul in public comments, videos, quotes in the media, publications to social media channels, as well as through other actions. The suit claims that Cooper Ray continues to wage a persistent campaign of verbally abusing, defaming, and taking other action to harm Ms. Altschul and her reputation. Apparently, the things that he was saying was that she was a cheat and a liar and has a substance abuse problem. And worst of all, maybe what you could say of a Southern lady is that she didn't even write her own cookbook.
Oh.
I looked into her. I know, right? The audacity. Mm-hmm. I checked out this cookbook and literally it's her name and another name. Like there's two names on it. I'm
right.
Like, I actually admire that she acknowledges she co-authored
this
because most of the housewives don't.
No, absolutely
not. We know they have ghostwriters, but they don't put their names on the cover. So as with most lawsuits that we look into, Melissa, it's unclear if they settled or not. But my guess is it might have even been dismissed because a few months later, I have a feeling this happened because Patricia wasn't getting the results she wanted from this lawsuit. So she requested a restraining order against Cooper, saying that Cooper was harassing her, spying on her, and that she felt unsafe having him within a few hundred feet of her home. Here is the problem with that. When you were right by Patricia's house, you were also right by Cooper's office.
Oh.
His office was literally across the street. So he had to be within 300 feet of her home. He rides his bike into town to his office and he sits on the front porch of his office, which faces Patricia's house. And she interpreted that as stalking. This is my understanding.
True.
Now they had to go to court over this. And our beloved Michael, the butler, had to take the stand to defend his employer. And this man clearly will take a bullet for her because he got on the stand in Patricia's defense and said that Cooper taunted him online and rode his bicycle by Ms. Patricia's home. Therefore, he, Michael, was forced to arm himself to protect his boss and himself from harm. Now, I tend to believe Michael. I also believe he's probably terrified of losing his job or just terrified of Patricia. I don't know. But he was deposed and that is his testimony.
Whoa.
That they were scared and that he had to be armed and carry a gun. But I don't know why he had to carry a gun. I'm going to send you a quick clip.
Okay. Spring is bursting with fresh energy. The air, our aspirations, and even our homes get a refreshing makeover. And what better time to revamp your home security with SimpliSafe? It's our top choice, and for good reason. Praised as the best home security system for 2024 by U.S. News and World Report, and recognized by Newsweek for its exceptional customer service, SimpliSafe has you covered. From break-ins to fires and floods, its comprehensive sensors keep your entire home safeguarded. I also love that with the cameras I have in my house, I can be gone, not be able to get a hold of a kid, and simply go onto one of the cameras and look around the room and see my kid is there and safe, but just ignoring me, as, you know, kids will do sometimes. And with a range of indoor and outdoor cameras, you can keep a vigilant eye on your property around the clock. For less than a dollar a day, you can enjoy 24/7 professional monitoring, ensuring prompt emergency responses for whenever you need it. Plus, SimpliSafe's monitoring agents can intervene in real time, deterring intruders with the power of voice through wireless indoor cameras. But the best part is there's no long-term commitment, and you have a generous 60-day money-back guarantee. So why not give SimpliSafe a try? If it doesn't exceed your expectations, simply return it for a full refund. SimpliSafe has given us and our listeners real peace of mind. We want you to have it too. Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/criminality. That's simplisafe.com/criminality. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Listen to this. Hermes extremely rare matte pink alligator Birkin bag. Possibly the rarest and most sought after bag in the world. God. Hurry up.
Oh my God, it's so fabulous.
I have something that will go just with it.
Oh my God, this is so gorgeous.
Look, with...
Oh my God! It's
not loaded.
It's not real, is it? You're pulling my leg.
Of course it's real.
Really?
It's a 38, but it's bubblegum pink.
Pink 38 or not, however, whatever it was he was carrying, they felt scared for their life. So the judge ended up dismissing the restraining order. He found that there was no cause and no reason. So with that, you would think it would be the end of the story. And I'm shocked that it wasn't. But a month later, Patricia called the police to report suspicious activity. Police came, and after a very thorough investigation of her home, they looked around. They didn't see anything. Doors were locked. There was no signs of forced entry. Literally nothing for them to even report. The police stated that Patricia went on and on about Cooper and was essentially just regurgitating the claims from the lawsuit that was filed against him, of which the police were very aware. So they were like, okay, we think this lady just has a vendetta and wants to, again, get this on our radar. And maybe like the judge will reconsider and say, oh, we should get that restraining order approved because he was here. But there really was very much no evidence that he was. So I don't know why. I don't know if it happened or not, but she is so overly involved in the lives of these. They're not kids. They're all adults. But like, maybe manufacturing drama is just part of like what, how she passes
her
time.
What else is she doing? Exactly. There's nothing.
Right. I think she's gotten into this place where she has to do this because it's sort of like this hole she's kind of placed herself in.
But you know how whenever you're like sick for a couple days and you can just, you know, if this happens and you can watch TV for several hours, at some point, even I who love TV, I'm like, I have nothing else to do. Like, there's nothing else to watch, or you're just tired of it. Can you imagine being somebody who literally she has nothing to do ever?
Exactly.
Of course you're going to create some drama. You've got money to spend.
Right. Exactly. And no job to go to. Like if her job is being on the show, which is creating drama, you can see like, here's the problem.
Right.
But this drama, I don't think she wanted to be a part of. This whole court case where Michael had to be deposed and she had to testify, it wasn't her only court appearance. In that same year, she was called in to Thomas and Catherine's custody battle. Now, their crimes and custody battle, as we know, could be a whole podcast.
Oh,
it was so, and continues
deep
to be
dive.
So messy. But you have to wonder why in the world would Patricia be called in for their custody case. For anybody who hasn't watched Southern Charm, we mentioned Thomas Catherine in the beginning. They have had two children together, not married, and lots of accusations between them, calling each other unfit and failed drug tests. And so they're always going to court to renegotiate child custody.
Whatever you think worst case scenario is, that's what happens to them the entire time they're together and apart. You just think, could it get worse?
Just when you think it can't get... Exactly. Exactly. Now, I do want to take this time to state that just like you and I and our listeners probably change our opinion about reality stars sometimes even within the course of an episode. I mean, you yeah. so graciously called me out on calling Rand winsome, not once but twice.
When like, you did it second time, I thought you remembered that you had sent it to me.
No. No, like, I clearly needed an intervention. It was right that you spoke up. Because obviously I now have a different opinion. So I think reality stars themselves do this as well. Because Patricia has actually warmed to Catherine. And the two now consider themselves friends. So if you're following them publicly now, they're just fine. Nice.
So yeah. Weird.
She has publicly turned on Thomas, as has most of the cast, in light of very troubling allegations that continue just to get worse. Though some are saying it's a little bit of a like day late, dollar short thing with her, that she might have been the only person that back yeah. when could have said, like, get your stuff together, dude. Mm-hmm. So Thomas's legal team believes that Patricia colluded with Catherine to convince one of Thomas's exes to accuse him of sexual assault. The judges ordered Patricia to turn over all text communications between her, Catherine, and this other woman. And Patricia's lawyer is like, this is crazy. You know, she's not super young. She cannot be on the stand for 6 hours, like kind of doing like what lawyers do. Like, she's probably fine. But yeah. like, she can't, you know, spend a day in court. Thomas's lawyer was like, well, she has the energy to be on a reality show. So we think she's just fine.
Yeah.
And the judge agreed. So she got deposed. Now, remember that controversial hookup that we talked about? And I said, we'll get there between Whitney and Catherine. And like, why in the world, if he has executive producer credit, would he not have just like removed it from the narrative entirely?
Right.
Because it didn't just happen in that first season. It happened again later, like midway through the show.
Oh, yeah.
It happened again. So Whitney, after the second one, was going around denying it, which actually really hurt Catherine. And she's kind of famously, this quote of her has gone around where she's like, you know, a lot of people have lied about saying they've slept with me, but nobody has ever lied saying they didn't. Which I thought was funny. And instead of Whitney just coming clean or giving reasons why he was denying it, Patricia, his mom, makes a statement about it and says, Whitney kept thinking the subject was closed, but he should have spelled it out more to Catherine. I was being sued by Thomas, as was Bravo. Being a producer of the show, he wanted to avoid hours of depositions and lawyers since he was filming another project in London. So it sounds like he just didn't want to get dragged into the custody case, because if he hooked up with her, then Thomas's team is obviously going to say, no, she's unfit. Look, she's doing this. Also, is it not a problem just that he was like her employer technically? Or maybe he's not. Maybe there's some contractual loophole. I think the whole thing would have been a really bad look for him to get with anybody in the cast.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all. I feel like that was on the ski trip or something that they talked about that. And she was like, why would you deny this or whatever?
Yeah.
Also, we're supposed to believe he was working on another project.
I know, in London. It's so cryptic. It's like girlfriend in Canada.
Yeah.
It's like, we know what this means. I think all of this is so gross, but if you just take the reality show part out of this scenario and you think these are normal people and then you involve the mom and like their ages, it's all just so wrong and disturbing. I mean, it says a lot about us watching it too. Like, I get it.
Absolutely.
But it's just so weird.
But so this is like one of the, first reality shows I can remember where there's like a pregnancy that happens and all this like they don't into the pregnancy. They come into these people meeting, right? No, I don't remember anything like this. And then it's custody and like it was must-see TV at the time because we were watching it play out in real time. It was wild.
Real life soap opera. There was a pregnancy scare in like the second episode and then she's not. But then by the end of season one, she's pregnant and season two starts and they're having a baby.
Yeah.
No, the stakes were so, so high. Mm-hmm. And the show is different now, obviously, than this era of the show. But anyway, back to the court cases. Most of this is probably settling out of court because there's nothing currently I could find about resolution on any of it. And Catherine and Thomas's story is so volatile and changes all the time. Mm-hmm. We'll see if it's going to play out in the new season, which is slated to come out soon, I think. It's saying early 2022, so should be any time. But do you know what I've realized in doing the research for this, Melissa, is I don't think I can watch it. This show, not only did it not age well, I don't think it was well at the time it was on. Like, it's so problematic. It's 2014, and I feel like it's like another universe. And I, not only do I think the show wouldn't get picked up, I think the show would get, like, slammed now.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It's still on. So I don't understand, and I just think it's, like, it's gone off the rails. There, for as trashy as that those first seasons were, there was a plot, and there were these, like, major life things happening. Like, it's devolved into this just, like, mess of people. What do you think about, like, later years, Southern Charm?
Yeah, I not super into it. I know when they tried to bring Austin in, it was like bringing in fresh blood, getting rid of Landon, which I always forget she exists. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, she hated Catherine with a hate no one but Patricia did, really. It was awful. They were so mean to Catherine, and Catherine has her demons and all of her own issues, but they were terrible. Like, but they're all just awful.
Completely. Yeah. So I just think it's gone on too long. I think we've allowed it. I think Craig's tricked us into thinking he's a good guy, but he's not. He is not a good guy.
I forgot and how bad he was.
Me too. And I think you and I kind of got duped like a lot of people. And we've been like, you know, we're like charmed by those dimples and those teeth. But like, no. And, you know, he's having his like resurgence with Paige. But then we see his recent behavior on Summer House with her. And I know they're fine now, but I don't approve. And
but I think that's who he is as a person. Like, that's him.
And if you go back and watch this, this is like who he was then. And he was just like, is it bad to say girls are my hobby? I mean, he says that to Cameron. Like, they all just say the most awful, awful things. And in conclusion, Southern Charm is a terrible show, and everyone on it except for Michael the butler is a monster, and now he's in an assisted living home. And frankly, I'm glad, and I hope he's getting a much-deserved break. And also, Southern Charm, Nola is far superior.
I love it.
And it only sucks that there's no crimes or scandals on that show because they're decent human beings. Otherwise, we could have talked about them. That's it. That's my thesis. He's the producer of Southern Charm, New Orleans. Whitney.
Mm-mm. Wait, there was just another Southern Charm too, right? There was
Savannah.
There was Savannah. I didn't watch that one. But New Orleans was so good. So good.
So good. And also high drama.
So much drama.
And
what's
yet
her face?
Didn't feel wrong.
Leaves her husband, then gets pregnant by her old boyfriend, and then we don't see anything else. Let me see it.
We want to see it. I mean, those characters and those friendships seemed so real.
Yeah.
And like, without a heavy hand, I felt like that show dealt with some real important topics without like that retroactive, like, oh, we should start talking about these important matters now. It was like very organic to who they were as friends in the place that they lived.
Absolutely.
They had interesting jobs. None of that is true in Charleston. And I think Whitney is like just super, super gross.
And he is.
I'm going to take a shower after this episode. And that's how I feel. I've been watching so much early Southern Charm and I'm not happy about it. And I hope you, Melissa, and listeners like enjoyed this weird little story about Patricia and Cooper, but I truly have had my first regret of like a story. Like, I forgot what monsters everybody on the show is.
They really are. But you know what, Rebecca? Here's something that
please
Southern Charm gave us. It gave us Madison and Austin in that terrible threesome video, not threesome video, like watching it, but whenever she recorded it. And then he's like, Madison, Madison, that is some of my favorite. Like, she just would take, I want to watch a season of her just taking them all to task. Because she is like the only person that could stand up to them and just.
I have my feelings about her.
Oh,
but
sure.
She also gave us Muppet Mouth.
She gave us Muppet Mouth. And she gave one of the phrases that I say in my head all the time, which is just, I heard you gave her chlamydia. And just like totally unprovoked.
Was that like Danny
hear
and
that
Shep?
Playing in my head all the time. And poor Danny's like, what?
That was awful. That was awful. But Yes, she gave us terrible. That. And like my favorite though, because he is such a shut your muppet mouth. Shut, yeah, how does she say it? Like she's like she. I mean, the twang is so good. It's like
it's muppet so mouth. Good. She ruined J-Lo and A-Rod. I mean, she
to wield that really, power, but she's high on that power.
Oh, she's very high on that power. But like, oh man, just something about that. Just that one line, which was so terrible, but you could just watch her little wheel spinning. And then
terrible. But she,
I heard you gave her chlamydia.
Yeah, she came in and she's like, I know what I'm doing here.
Freaking God,
see, I deal in facts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Want to know facts?
Yeah. What do you think you know about me?
What do I think I know about you?
Yeah. I have nothing to hide.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
I heard you gave her chlamydia.
Yeah. If you'll notice, I didn't even mention Austin's name. I know he's like a later season character, but I cannot with him. No. Also forgot about Landon. Jenna was on season one. She was one and done.
That was down our throat. That feels like a
Whitney move to me. That's like, we need an edgy girl who doesn't fit the mold. Turns out she wasn't even from Charleston. Like,
of course not.
She was a complete fraud and so weird. So I didn't even bother bringing her into the story. But I'm sure she's a lovely person. Just like, yeah, that was a weird casting choice. Yeah, I'm going to make a point. If I feel a moment of weakness to watch this new episode, this new season, I'm not going to. I'm going to remind myself of this episode and how I feel. Thank you. I ask for accountability. I'm putting this out into the whole audience. Yeah, just you guys need to call me out when I call people winsome who aren't. And when I say I'm going to watch Southern Charm and I shouldn't.
I do want to point out that I didn't save that text message from you, but I was able to search the word winsome in it. Was the only one that popped up.
Ding, ding, ding. Apparently, winsome is not a commonly used word, as evidenced and echoed by our Instagram followers. Yeah. And I told my husband this. I'm like, I'm so embarrassed. Like, I thought winsome was like kind of something people said. He's like, no, you say that a lot, though. Like, that's like your word. Like, you use that a lot. I'm like, why? Whoa. And clearly for the wrong people. I'm misusing it.
Yeah, that might be it. Maybe you're using it for terrible people. Now you know. Now we all know.
Yeah, I have a lot of growing to do. Look, I am a work in progress. Also, Southern Charm gave us this.
I like that song, though. That was a good... They did great with that because, I mean, we really don't get theme songs. We used to have one for Summer House and they don't even play that anymore. It didn't even make sense.
I love that song. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't make sense, but I love it. It's something about, and I'll take you there.
I know a
place and I'll take you there. I'm like, take me there.
But now they don't. They stop taking us places. Yeah, they just show you a man drop and us Kyle into the scene.
Yeah. Now it just starts like, Kyle. Well, enough about Southern Charm. Tell me, what in the world have you been watching?
Thank you so much, Rebecca. This was so fun. Okay, here we go. Let me see. I will give you three clues.
Okay.
My three clues are Hulu, movie.
Okay.
I'm going to say J-Lo, but J-Lo is not a real one.
What?
Okay, J-Lo is not good. Hulu, movie, murder.
Well, this has me written all over it.
Well, let me add another clue for you. Erotic thriller, I think, is what I read the description as after.
Oh.
You know it.
If they're saying it's like a great date movie.
Who is they?
They? Oh, man. Is it like Taken or like...
It's two words.
Like one... Okay. I know exactly what it is. I don't know the words.
Name a star from it.
I don't know. I don't know the stars of it. But I can totally picture it and I feel like everyone's talking about it.
Ready?
Yeah, I do. Yes.
Deepwater.
Deepwater.
But this is the picture I'm choosing instead. This is Ben Affleck during his Dunkin' Donuts phase. And this is his girlfriend that he broke up with and then threw away the life-size picture of her right after they broke up. And she stars in the movie as well.
Wait, it's his real... his movie
when they were
girlfriend.
Dating. Yeah. So she's in, the movie. Mm-hmm. During filming, the two dated.
I don't know about that. Oh. And tell me everything.
Ana de Armas and Ben Affleck actually dated, I guess, during this. They dated during quarantine, broke up. That isn't important. It's, I read this after the words erotic thriller, psychological thriller. Don't waste your time. Well, I mean, it's like a hate watch. I watched it in three separate sections. Like, it just isn't great. Here's the thing I've decided. I hate movies. I hate movies.
Yeah.
There is no plot. Like, all of a sudden you're like, they're together and I'm just supposed to like know that they've been together for a long time and they have a kid and I think she hates the kid, but I can't quite tell because she's only spent one scene with her. So does she? I don't know. Maybe she's having a bad day. So it's like this woman's like openly having affairs and her husband knows about it and like what's happening to the person she's seeing. And so that's not really giving anything away. So it's just like going through that. So it's like a mystery.
Yeah. Now I can picture all the trailers. Now it's like, I totally, it's like, it's always been a game.
Yeah. The final scene is truly like, if I told you, think of the worst way to end this movie, the worst way.
Okay.
You would still come up with a better idea than they did. It is that, like, I'm not kidding you. Anybody that's watched it will know what I'm talking about. The texting, they will know just how absolutely, like, absolutely not. So I read some stuff afterwards that was, like, kind of to make it make more sense. Not like it's, like, so deep or anything, but just, like, what the heck did I just watch? And it made a little bit more sense, but still I was like, this is a waste of time. $50 million budget. No. Mm-mm.
Oh, my gosh. Did your husband watch it?
Mm-mm. No, he would have been like, what is this, Melissa? And I already had to like watch it with headphones when I saw erotic thriller and saw like four nipples.
Yeah. I just was like, oh, it's a Ben Affleck movie. Like sometimes my husband and I watch this.
Yeah.
Now it's like it's being very heavily advertised. I don't know why. I couldn't remember the name.
Read a couple tweets.
I also The Lost City. Like can't escape it. It's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I can't deal with how much it's being advertised.
Well, I mean, they've got to make up their $50 million somehow.
Yeah, right? I'll probably skip that one then.
I kind of want you to watch it just because I want to know what you think about the end. Like, that's how much. But it's just like, none of this is sustainable, what's going on. I don't know. I'm just like.
I prefer my erotic ones to be, you know, college aged or.
Yeah. Yeah, she is one of the hottest people on the planet, I think. Whenever I saw her in this, I was like, oh my gosh, like you were made for this terrible role. But she is so beautiful. Like something about her is just gorgeous. And
he's Ben Affleck.
He's Ben Affleck. We didn't see his Phoenix tattoo. I don't think he was nude ever. I mean, like, I'm not like pushing this as a porn, but I don't remember seeing anything really with him. I think he keeps it covered up pretty well.
Well, he's not the Ben Affleck of, you know, yesteryear.
No, but please watch it. And if you have watched it, let me know your thoughts because that whole last thing was Dukes of Hazzard-esque. It was just so ridiculous.
Oh my gosh. Oh yeah. You know, anyone who's listening who's watched it will definitely let us know when we post. Yeah, maybe I will. Movies are hard for me now. Like, I am very much in, like, an episodic headspace that diving into a two-hour movie is disorienting.
There's just no plot. Like, there's just nothing. Like, he has this one friend for a while. I'm like, but I want to know how you met. I need a two-episode arc of your childhoods and how he saved you from a well. Right. I need something.
I'm just supposed to buy into this friendship.
Yeah. I don't believe any of this.
No, I hear you. Interesting. Well, I was excited because two of my clues are Hulu. Well, one of my clues is Hulu. I thought maybe we were going in the same place. You're going to get mine because it's
But now I'm so wishing me. I did a different one, but go ahead. No, I thought this was yours. Okay.
You thought this was mine. Oh, interesting.
No, I didn't think the one that you're doing is yours, but the other one I had I thought was going to be.
Oh, I'm so curious. Okay, Hulu, book, podcast.
Hold on. This is not what I thought. Hulu?
Well, it might be, and it's based on a book and a podcast.
Oh, The Dropout. Yes. Okay. I was like, yeah, this took a turn.
I didn't want to say blood. My brain is done. Are you watching?
I actually have not started watching it. I felt like I got a little too much information about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just was waiting to hear what people thought. But everybody seems to really like it, right?
I really like it. And I will say, just if we're going to compare things in the same genre, like I thought Inventing Anna was not good. The Netflix Anna Delvey show. Mm-hmm. I completed it. Did I talk about that on here? No, I don't think I did.
I don't think you did, but I heard the same thing where people that really knew the story were like, no, this wasn't good.
Yeah, it did a disservice to the story. Julia Garner was amazing, who played Anna Delvey, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, I bring it up because this was so, in my opinion, this is so well done. Mm-hmm. And it's like what that series could have been.
Right.
Amanda Seyfried, is that how you say her last name?
I only read it. I've never said it.
I know, exactly. She is amazing in this. Mm. I think it's so, where they've taken creative license likely has been very smart. And they have to. It's a dramatized version. Sure. But I have read the book and I have listened to both podcasts. So I'm seeing little things and people are like, that's crazy. I'm like, no, that happened. There's some parts that really I know for a fact did happen. I just think it's so well done. The danger of it, I think, is that it's almost making me kind of root for Elizabeth Holmes a little bit, because it's humanizing her to this point where I'm like, what did she know? And I very much believe she knew.
Right.
And but there's just something interesting. It's bringing up some of the moral scruples around it. Okay. About villainizing her as a woman, where her male counterparts,
you don't hear anything about
them. Do this stuff all the time. I think the difference is this is a healthcare thing, and this was people's health.
Yeah.
And a lot of the products, even a lot of the men in the movie that they reference, Zuckerberg and stuff, or a lot of people are comparing her. It's a social media platform and a potentially life-saving health device are very different products to push out to the market. So that's where I think this is a very different story. But it's really enjoyable. And and I think whoever made it and cast it must have worked on 24, the show, because there's so many actors from 24 that I haven't seen in years.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
That I'm like, oh, someone worked there, because there's just all these random people from 24 on it.
Okay.
I love it. It was not a fun experience going back and watching these early episodes of Southern Charm.
Sure.
That is until Whitney threw a 4th of July party in the first season at his new loft style apartment that Cam forced him to buy so she could have some money.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a rooftop party and he had the party, but all the guys on Southern Charm invited their own friends. Shep invited some girls. Three girls walk in. Hi, everyone. This is my friend Rachel. It was Rachel Yucatel.
I was, what? No.
Yes. In a white dress looking hot.
Of course.
And everyone's like there was a moment. They don't say Rachel Yucatel, but they're Shep's friend Rachel. And then he's like, yeah, my friend Rachel from New York came. She's smoking or something. And that was all that was referenced. And then I verified on the internet that in fact it was her.
Of course. Oh, wild. My gosh. Yeah.
But that all is just so interesting. Combined. All the worlds colliding, when she was probably kind of riding that weird fame part of the disaster of what happened to her, had some perks, I guess. And this was one of them.
Meeting Shep.
Debatable. Yeah, I know.
Debatable.
I just had to say that. Okay. Good TV week. Watch a movie. We'll watch The Dropout and Deep Water. And then we're going to do something different for next episode. Right?
Yes, we are. I'm so excited. So I swear every other day you and I are texting each other, or listeners are writing and saying, did you see this? Did you see this? Every person that's been in our stratosphere, whatever, atmosphere.
Yeah.
There's just updates galore. They're all getting into nonsense, or nonsense is happening to them. Rebecca, you straight up canceled Tarek and Christina's show. Thank you on behalf of humanity.
Yes, I guess I can safely say you're welcome, but it's just so funny because that episode just came out and I was like, it's still running, this boring show, and then it was like, it's over.
Like, exactly. Oh, they were like, we finally listened to someone. We needed one podcast and it's over. Oh, my gosh. Literally after, whenever I was researching for Shayna Mokler, she was on Celebrity Big Brother. And then total madness has happened to her after that.
Lots.
It's just constant. So we're going to do, in 2 weeks, we are going to do an update episode where we take you through each case or every story that we've done. We've done 30 of them, so it will be a few points on each because everyone's had things that have happened. There's so many updates.
I can't believe it. I'm gonna be surprised if there isn't an update for everyone we've covered. I kind of feel like there is, and it'll be fun to revisit them. And this is a really fun 2 weeks for any new listeners to go back and like listen to all of them, because we're gonna be going back and reviewing them in a Where Are They Now style episode. I'm so excited.
I know. This will be great. Two words for you. Kimora Lee. That has been blowing up my mind this week. If you don't know what we're talking about, just wait. Rebecca will break that down for you.
I can't wait to go back and dig in. So we'll both do all the episodes we've covered. We'll do like a shared style episode. Yeah. It'll be so fun.
Sounds good.
Cool.
Well, you can find Rebecca every week, every Wednesday on her other podcast, Dialogue. Make sure you subscribe and rate it 5 stars because it totally is.
Thanks, Melissa. And you can do the same for Melissa's show every Tuesday, Moms and Murder. Thank you guys so much for listening. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Criminality Show. And we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Criminality. If you're enjoying the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and give the show a rating and review. The reality is it would be a crime to keep your thoughts to yourself.
And come join the fun outside of the podcast and follow us on social media. We are at Criminality Show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Memes are welcome. We'll see you in 2 weeks with a new episode. Until then, you can catch my co-host Melissa on her weekly show, Moms and Murder.
And Rebecca Sebastian on her podcast, Dialogue, a true crime conversation. Don't forget, loving reality
isn't a crime.